I leaned over to Pastor Danny and said, I'm tempted to make them do that again. That's a good song right there. Come on. Do you ever get your groove on whenever we were down here getting our groove on down front. The hill is not afraid to groove with Jesus. Are you talking? Hey, listen, if you need a pick-me-upper in the middle of your week, like on a Wednesday, don't come this week, but because it's spring break and we're not meeting. But if you need a pick-me-upper, you just need to come worship with our middle school students or high school students on a Wednesday night. It is awesome. It'll set you free. I've been known to kind of bust in and just kind of mess things up, haven't I? I love it. We've got students. There's a generation, I'm telling you guys, that are consumed with Jesus and making him famous here in Bernie, Texas, and I'm excited about that. So I love to see you guys down front in the splash zone. Don't y'all go to sleep this morning? I know you get one hour less of sleep. It was interesting to me this morning, the number of people that showed up at 9:30 today for the 8:30 worship service. It was interesting. It was interesting. So how many of you, a round of applause? You planned ahead, you planned well, and the moving the clocks forward did not affect you whatsoever. Let me hear you. Okay. If you're sitting next to someone that did not clap, I need you to help a preacher out this morning. Keep your eye on them. Don't let them use that. I'm praying, you know, right now. But it is good. Happy spring break to everybody. I know. Any teachers or administrators in the house? Come on. Let's show some honor to all of our school administration. Bus drivers, come on. I want to drive a bus. I want to drive a bus. It'd be the party bus. It'd be awesome. But students and teachers, administrators, I hope you guys enjoy spring break this week. Visited with your students earlier today, and they're ready to assume all household responsibilities and chores that you guys need, projects that need to begin. The weather is cooperative. It's just like spring outside, isn't it? It's like freaking winter out there right now, you know, that's dreary and cold, but it's good. I hope that you guys get some rest this week, and just, hey, listen, it is good to pause and to catch your breath, and so I hope that for those of you that have an opportunity this week, do so. Just breathe a little bit and just refuel if you can. But happy spring break to all of you. I want us to pray together if we can today and for a move of the Holy Spirit. Listen, Don Maurice is right, man. We want more. We want more. We want him to fill us up. Listen, our time is short and I'm consumed with the message of Jesus Christ. And I don't want to just show up and do church each week. I want people to have an encounter with a living God that really changes them and propels them towards this life that he came to give them. And I hope all of you that are here with us here, that those of you that are dialed in and watching us online, thank you guys so much. But we do pray. We pray the fullness of God for all of you. And when you come together in a house like this, I pray that you come expecting to meet with him. Amen. He's here. His presence is with us today. We don't have to beg or wonder if he's here. No, no, no. He's here. He says, I am with you always. So he's going to be with us. And so his presence is here. And to what level or magnitude the presence, the Spirit works in your life, it's dependent on to how much freedom and latitude you'll give him today. Is that fair? Is that okay? So that gives me great hope, because today's not about me. But it's about to what level you'll let the Spirit of God do in your life what he wants to do. Whether you're listening here in person or, again, dialed in online down on the beach. And by the way, those of you that are watching on the beach, hey, take a picture. I just want to see how crowded it is down there. It'd be awesome. And I'm sure there's not a bare spot of sand anywhere down there. But it's great. Can we pray together today? You ready? You ready to go hard today? We're going to go after it, all right? Lord Jesus, thank you for your presence. Thank you for the promise that you will be with us to the very end of time. You're with us. And Lord, thank you for that assurance that we were reminded of, even as we sang today, that God, you want to step in. And God, with hands open, many today said, Lord, just come and do what you want to do. And I pray that, Father, that today we would give you the freedom to do what only you can do. Father, the reality is today, I know that there are people here that are listening, that are carrying around some stuff that you desire to relieve them of. It's a burden, it's a weight that they're carrying, and God, it's slowing them down. It may be bringing discouragement. It might be bringing some fear or anxiety. And God, I just ask that, Father, that today they would allow your spirit to just commune with them in such a way that you relieve them from that. Do y'all believe God can do those things? Lord, for someone else here today, God, they need to hear the truth of who you are and how much you love them. Maybe they've heard time and time again that God is love and God so loved the world he gave his son Jesus. They've heard that, but for whatever reason, Father, they've yet just to trust you and say, okay, Jesus, I really want you to come in and take over of my life. Maybe for some, that's for the very first time, and today they need to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior of their lives. But there may be some here today that have made that declaration at some point in their life, but for some reason, they're still trying to command and direct and live life on their own strength and desire and ambition, and they've yet to truly surrender to the lordship of you, Lord. And so I pray that today as well, that we would understand that, hey, it's good to completely surrender and submit ourselves to Jesus and let him take over. Father, I pray today that as we look at your word, I pray, God, that you would illuminate it. Maybe this is a story that we've heard numerous times, but today, Holy Spirit, would you just illuminate truth? See, I believe truth is not discovered. I believe truth is revealed, and it's revealed as we allow the Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do. So reveal truth to us today. Are you guys ready for that? Reveal new truth to us this morning, Holy Spirit. We are so glad that we can come and gather in your presence. Have your way now. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen, amen. Today we start a new series entitled Storms. And the reason we're going to speak about storms because it's that season in which things are going to typically start kicking up a little bit, going up another notch. Things have been dormant for a long time, right? Great series. Things have been dormant and now things are coming back to life. I noticed in my neighborhood, people out spraying for weeds because they failed to put pre and post emergent down last fall. And so those things are creeping up. I heard lawnmowers for the very first time this season yesterday. There was mounds of dirt that were being spread in neighbors' yards after my dog and I finished playing in it. But it's just that time of the year. And with springtime and with this time of the year, we know that the jet stream and things begin to speed up a little bit and cause some things to stir. Storms. They'll come. They'll come to our region. They'll come to our landscaping. But we also know that storms are part of our lives, aren't they? Personally, not just storms that come and batter the terrain in which we see, but storms are part of our lives as well. They're inevitable. In fact, we all have that in common in this room today, or those watching. Listen, storms will happen to all of us. You might find yourself right now in the midst of one. There's a difficulty. There's something that's just raging or pressing against you. There's a little uneasiness. There's no peace, and there's just something that's brewing in your life. You might be in the midst of that right now. If you're not in the midst of that right now, you better be prepared because it will come. And you might be experiencing kind of a calm and a peace right now, but they're gonna come. In fact, Jesus knew that we would experience things. In John chapter 16, verse 33, he says, "In this life you will have troubles." Don't you just wish there were some parts of the Bible that weren't there? I mean, like, come on, Jesus, I thought you're supposed to always be encouraging and offer hope and peace. And but Jesus says in John 16:33, in this world you will have troubles. Some translations say struggles or sorrow. We all face those, but the verse doesn't end there. He goes on to say, but I want you to take heart because I've overcome the world, okay? So someone listening here today, listen, this is might be the only thing you catch today, and you can leave if you need to, all right? But I want you to know this, the trouble and struggle, the sorrow that you experience for a moment, I'm telling you, Jesus is bigger than those things, and he brings peace in the midst of the storms, right? But if they're inevitable, if we're going to face that, how can we prepare for that? Or what are some things that maybe we ought to consider that might help us react in a little bit different manner, how we handle the storms or the struggles or the difficulties in life when they come? And I believe that we can not only handle them in a better way, I believe that we can actually face storms head on and survive during those storms. You know, when hurricane alerts are passed out along the coast of our nation, people begin to get ready for that. They make a rush to the store and purchase all the waters, sometimes generators. They're buying candles, things of that such. They get ready. They close a lot of the homes now are built with storm shutters. They close. They put pieces of plywood over doors. I mean, you've seen that. When people know a storm is coming, when it's brewing, smart people prepare for that. And so that's the purpose of our journey together over the next few weeks. We want to share things with you that might help you as you face the storm that will come against you. Not only can you survive it, I believe that with God's help and with his instruction, you can actually thrive in the midst of that storm as well. Are you with me? Do you believe anything I've said so far? Okay, thank you. Thank you. Clapping. I love that. That is awesome. And I want to just leave you with these words and why I'm such an optimist when it comes to these, because I remember the words of Jesus when he says this, I am with you always. It's not just when I'm on the mountaintop, but it's even when I'm in the valleys and when I'm in the struggles and when I'm facing those difficulties. Hang on to that promise. Jesus said, I am with you always. That's good news, isn't it? That's good news. Today, I want us to look at a passage of scripture that I believe is probably one of the great storm stories in all of the Bible. And the Bible is littered with stories about storms. It's littered with people who went through some difficulties and challenges and storms of life, and we're going to draw those out over the next few weeks. But I'm especially captivated by this story in Matthew chapter 14. In Matthew chapter 14, we find Jesus is in the midst of his ministry is running full throttle. We know that he began his earthly ministry here on earth around the age of 30. He left his mom and dad, his earthly parents, and began to set out to fulfill the will of his heavenly Father. And for 3 years, we read throughout the Gospels, Jesus ministering to people and speaking of the kingdom, performing miracles and leading people towards the way, the truth, and the life, and showing them God the Father in heaven. And in Matthew chapter 14, he's really in full throttle. Matthew chapter 14 begins kind of on a kind of a Debbie Downer moment, because in Matthew chapter 14 beginning, we find that Herod Antipas has taken a friend of Jesus's, John the Baptist, and has beheaded John the Baptist, has taken his life. You guys know that John the Baptist and Jesus had a special relationship. There was kind of a distant blood relationship, family relationship. But we also know that it was this one John the Baptist that was the preparer. He laid the foundation, prepared the way for Jesus to come and to carry on his earthly ministry. It was this John the Baptist that baptized Jesus in the Jordan River. And by the way, I hope that you not skip next Sunday, because next Sunday we're going to experience scriptural baptism. We're going to baptize people just as Jesus was baptized. And yeah, I think you can clap for that. We have about 21 people just next Sunday we're baptizing. You know, the average church baptizes 2 people per year. Bro, we're above average. Come on, tell somebody. No, hey, I'm praying for high water bills in churches all across America. that our water bills will be astronomical because of baptism. Amen. Anyway, so Jesus is full throttle in ministry. After this situation, it says that Jesus, I believe Jesus was grieved over the loss of his friend. And he gets away and he kind of retreats and gets to a quiet place. And this is, Jesus did this quite often. I think Jesus in this situation, his heart hurt because he lost a friend. Hey, listen, that's good news. And I want you to hear that today. Listen, we have a high priest that understands our pain and our struggle. And he hurts when we hurt. I want you to know that. Hey, listen, for someone here today, you need to understand, God knows what it's like to lose a family member. He lost his one and only son on the cross, and it hurt his heart. And so we don't have some God in heaven that is unemotional. I think he weeps. I think God looks down from heaven and he weeps over of what's going on in our country today. Are you with me there? I don't think that this was God's plan and design, but I'll make no mistake about it. In the midst of a storm, I'm telling you, the king still reigns and he's going to make things right. Amen. We read in Matthew chapter 14 that Jesus has gotten away. We read this story, and it's also articulated in John chapter 6. Jesus has been ministering. The disciples are still out. Jesus is gone off somewhere. And they find him and say, hey, Jesus, listen, there are a lot of people here, and it's getting late, and they've been with us all day. People are getting hungry. You guys struggle with about a 70-minute time together here. These people have been with them probably all day, and they're hungry. And we read about one of the greatest miracles in all of Scripture, Jesus taking a few pieces of fish and a few pieces of bread and feeding, Scripture says,